Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. You know, as we watch events unfolding on our evening news, many wonder, what is happening? I mean, if you are a person of faith, you know what's happening. You know that Jesus and the gospel writers prophesied that everything we see happening right now would take place before the return of Jesus. But what do we have to look forward to as that day approaches? Many people have given their viewpoints. Movies have been made, books have been written, and that brings me to our guest today. Thomas Nastic is a systems engineer from upstate New York, but he has always had a passion for writing and music. This has allowed him an outlet, basically, for his creative gifts. And most often, he's been writing fiction novels that reflect the Christian Catholic themes with inspiring messages of hope. His most recent works include a trilogy of books titled and centered around the theme of Penury City. This series of books is not just a story for our day and time in which we live. No, it is a book about the day and times in which we live. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. Amen. This series of books is about the adventure of our biblical fathers that they wrote about that's being played out right in front of our eyes right now in the day and time in which we live. But yet there are millions, if not billions, of people that do not realize it. This is the chance for us to live out and achieve the ultimate goal that we as Christians have been pursuing for thousands of years, to finally find the answer to the question that has been burning us and all of us, namely, God, are you there? Well, help me welcome to the program, Thomas Nastic. Thomas, thank you for taking the time to join us on the program today.
Well, thank you very much, Pastor Bob. I appreciate, you know, you inviting me to the show. I'm very grateful for the opportunity.
Amen. Now, the first question I always start with, other than that brief information I just shared, can you tell us in your own words, who is Thomas Nastic?
Well, of course. So I grew up in a typical Catholic family. I was raised Catholic by Catholic parents, very Christian, holy family, 7 to 12 years Catholic school. But I never really understood my faith very well. Never really understood the deeper meanings to it. And I don't know if that's just because as a kid or a young adult, you just kind of let things go in one ear and out the other. But it took a long time before I really understood and came to know God and my faith. And it really took an act of God in order for that to happen. I don't know if you remember in 2008, we had the great housing market crash. Mm-hmm. And after a career in technology and research and development for 20 years, I was suddenly left without work. Mm. That was the first time that ever happened to me, is not being, you know, without a paycheck. And so as hard as that was to deal with, at the same time, my brother had gotten melanoma cancer. Mm. And then my sister, who suffered from 25 years of multiple sclerosis, she also ended up in the hospital and took a turn for the worse. And then my wife, who has many autoimmune diseases, she had gotten her first autoimmune disease in that same year. Mm. So as the year transpired, towards the end of it, I ended up losing my brother to cancer. I ended up losing my sister. And the autoimmune diseases from my wife kept getting worse. And I was just crushed. I mean, if God ever kind of sent a message, I mean, that had to be a really hard message to get to. Mm-hmm. And as I was wrestling with all of that and kind of wrestling with God and asking, you know, all the tough questions, like, why did you let all these things happen to me? What's going on here? Actually, that's what Israel means, is to wrestle with God. So mm-hmm. we all have those moments in our life where we are wrestling with God, trying to figure out God, you know, who is God? What does he want from my life? What am I supposed to do? How does this relationship thing work? And so that's when I started to really dive deeper into the deeper meanings, reading more scripture, doing more prayer, reading just about every theological book I could get my hands on, trying to figure all of these things out. So that's kind of my story of how I got there. And where it ended up was, I've always been a creative individual writing books of fiction, and they always had very moral tones to the books, and Christianity was in there, but they weren't Christian books. They weren't diving into the deeper meanings of God. And I was going to start to write another book pretty much in this same, in that same tone. And God said, no, I think we're going to do something different now, Thomas. We're going to try something different. And so, I put that secular book away and started writing Penury City. And so that's kind of the story of
how we got here. Set the tone for these books, tell us why you decided to write this series now.
So I started writing it in 2013. So it was even before a lot of these things started happening today. And so I don't know if, again, that's God's inspiration leading the right way to what society needs today. And you can see the writing on the wall. You can see where humanity was going. We've been taking God out of society for a long time now.
Yeah. Amen.
When America first came into being, we had God in the Constitution, God in the Declaration of Independence. We had God in the justice system. We had God in the public square. We had God everywhere. And we slowly started separating God, you know, separate church from state, separate him out of the justice system. We no longer even our oath, when we go before the judge and we take an oath of, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, we took that out. We took God out of our schools, out of our public square. And so as a society continues to take God out of itself, I mean, you're just left with, well, us. We're broken. We're not so good when we're just left to our own recognizances, right? So we need to bring God back into our society. And how do we do that? So Penury City is that story. It's the first volume is really talking about humanity as a whole, taking us through our history from the start of when Jesus walked the earth. So it takes us through, well, first, God comes, the author of all life, comes to earth to be with his people, and we kill him. We torture him and we kill him. What does that say about us?
Yeah, amen, amen.
So it takes us through the betrayal of Jesus. It takes us through all the terrible things that humanity has done, whether it's from like Caligula and Nero and Genghis Khan and all of these terrible things that humanity has done to itself. And if that isn't bad enough, and we think modern man today thinks, well, that was just back then, and we were kind of barbaric back then. We're more sophisticated today.
More sophisticated barbarians.
We're more civilized today, exactly.
Let me ask you this. Where is, in your book, where is Penury City? What is it and where is it?
Well, I don't want to give too much away to reveal, but it is a real city in the book, and it is a real city on our planet. So it's not, you know, a virtualized city. It's not like a city in heaven. It's a real city, you know, on Earth. So I don't want to give away for the listeners. I don't want to give away some of the, it's kind of the hidden meanings as you traverse through the story. Okay. You start to get things are revealed to you, just like in the Bible, as you read scripture, you can read it for the stories, but then as you read the stories, the deeper meanings and revelations start to come out of those stories.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really how Penury City is written.
Amen. Amen. And I know you wrote a fourth book that's sort of a side-by-side author's viewpoint that the readers can use to assist them in seeing these things as they read the trilogy of books. And it's titled The Bashar. It was written to explain these things to give the readers a chance to see what you were thinking as you were writing these books. So let's sort of encapsulate that, I guess, into this interview as you briefly go through, you know, the books of the trilogy. And as we were talking about book one, it's called The Light of Gabriel. that's kind of given us the introduction and the plots and the characters type of thing, right?
Right, that's right. Okay. So yeah, the Pesher in Hebrew, it's means the interpretation. So that book is, cool. It's the companion, so that it gives a little bit of my insight of, as I was writing the book, different things that were happening to me. Also the deeper theology in, because I was, when I was writing the trilogy, I was reading a lot of scripture and I was praying a lot. And I think that just came through in when I was writing it, and these deeper meanings, only I didn't really realize it. I didn't notice these multiple layers until when I was going back through and doing editing. And I would reread these sections, and I would say, wait, I didn't even know that until way later on. How did that get in there?
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I understand that. I've said before, like we have the radio station, I'll have it playing in the background while I'm working on other stuff. And, I'm so focused on what I'm doing that, I'm in my mind, I'm like, wow, this guy is really good. This is some good stuff there, And then my wife would say, why are you listening to yourself on the radio now? Oh, that is, wow, that was really good. Didn't even realize it when I was preaching it, So I understand what you're talking about as right. You're writing it. It's like, wow, where did that come from? How did that get in there? So,
exactly. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is a great companion to have with you.
Amen. And so I didn't mean to interrupt you, but let's continue with the light of Gabriel, because, a lot is happening right now. I mean, we're, as you said, we're looking at our belief system under attack, not just every now and then, every day from every front, abortion, gay marriage, transgenderism, pornography, addictions, socialism. So the star of the book is a guy named Dr. Saul Kreisch. How do you pronounce
it? I think it's Kreisch, but Kreisch, I mean, they're okay. Fictional characters. So
But I just want to get the name correctly. But he's facing battles, with his conscience as well as all the social concerns as well.
Right.
And the path that he has to follow is really the basis for the stories. And you have a series of, I'll let you take it over from there for book one.
Okay, sure. So book one is The Light of Gabriel. And if you look at the cover of the book, it's this large granite rock, and the rock has a crack in it, and the rock is meant to be the church. So our church, that foundation of the church, has this crack in it. And there's also a sword that's laid across the rock, which is, Peter's sword, the sword that is supposed to defend the church, and the sword's broken. And what breaks it is the shekel. The shekel is the Jewish coin, the silver coin. And the coin's meant to represent the 30 coins that Judas used to betray Jesus. So the shekel, representing evil, breaks the sword of Peter and cracks the foundation of the church. Mm. And what comes out of that crack is the light of Gabriel. We're looking for heaven to help us to put the church back together. So that's kind of the whole premise of that first book is, the foundation of the church has been broken. And Saul, he's the atheistic doctor who has no belief system as far as God is concerned. He thinks it's all just God's a myth that people made up. And he'll have no part of that because he's a man of science. He's a learned man of science, and he knows better that these things just aren't possible. And so he lives with a woman, and they're trying to have children. But this book takes place in the future. So it takes place in the year 2054. So as we talked about before, that when you continuously take God out of the world, well, what happens when he's gone? So the future is in this 2054 is God's completely out of the secular society. And when that happens, you need permission from the government to even have children. And if you don't meet the right criteria, your DNA matches, well, and you don't have any health issues. You have a certain amount of, intelligence there. you have to meet these criteria of the secular government in order to even be approved to have children. Mm. And so they're not approved. And his wife is so broken up about this, she starts to pursue other things. And there's always this myth kind of around in Penary City in that first volume, where there's this myth that there's this city somewhere that's a city of faith and freedom. And you have freedom to make these choices and live your life the way you think you are supposed to live it. And so she leaves Saul and she pursues this myth. And really, and so she's the only anchor that he has left that kind of anchors him to some kind of moral foundation. And when she left, he was just crushed because he had nothing. He realized he has nothing. Mm. And so he pursues her to go chase after her. And so upon doing that, he ends up meeting a Catholic nun on the journey. And as she starts to teach him about faith, he starts to lower his defenses on his beliefs and starts hearing what she's telling him about scripture and about God and how that all works. So that's his journey through the first volume, is just him being on this journey and trying to figure things out.
And the path he has to follow is interesting, because you have a series of connected underground tunnels, like an entire transportation highway, right? Tell us a little bit about this dangerous path and how he has to find his way.
Sure. So before all of this happens with Saul, probably about 20, 30 years before that happened, there were the last fighting Christian army. They were called the Zealots, the Carol Zealots, after Carol was the only signer of the Constitution who was a Christian, Catholic Christian. And so they're called the Carol Zealots. And they're the ones who built this whole underground system of tunnels and pathways, because they had the premonition that society was going to get so bad that a lot of the Christians were going to be persecuted. So this last remnant was able to kind of build these systems and these tunnels to lead to Penary City.
Okay. All right. And so let's move on now to book two. You explained a little bit what the shekel represents, but how does that relate to the story?
So book two is Ire of the Shekel. And so as the last remnant of the Christian faith is traversing through these tunnels, and at the same time, they're kind of learning to trust in God, to trust in the people who came before them, who made the tunnels, who made the systems, and just trust in that way. And they left with nothing. They had to leave all of their homes, their jobs, whatever they had, left it all behind to escape that world. And so they left with nothing. So they don't even really have, you know, water to survive or food. All that is provided to them on the way. And they don't really know how it gets there, but just it just sort of appears to them. And they're able to, you know, continue to have, you know, sustenance along their journey. And so as they start to have more faith and start to trust in God, Ire of the Shekel is really the catechization of Saul. So he gets more training, more deeper theology. He gets introduced to God and Jesus Christ and how the apostles, you know, worked, and all of the things that we know that are in Scripture, he starts to learn through this Catholic nun who's teaching him the way. And so, but as always, it always comes down to a choice. And so how the second book ends is that Saul is at kind of the edge of this cliff where he's trying to decide, okay, is this all true? Or is this just some elaborate made up scheme just to give humanity this kind of false hope that it isn't all bleak and there is something, you know, on the other side. So he's contemplating all that he knows, and he's at odds with himself. He has to get off the fence. You know, there can be no more lukewarmness. It's either he's for Jesus or he's against Jesus. That he can no longer just sit there and say, well, I'm teetering. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not true. He has to make a choice. He's actually forced into making a choice. So that's where the second volume sort of ends.
In some of my, when I'm preaching and stuff, I'll talk about, you know, when you're presenting the offer of salvation to someone and like, I'll think about it or whatever, like that. You know, I keep telling them, no decision is a decision. You know, right. I mean, you can't escape it. You know, well, I haven't made up my mind. Well, that's a decision, you know, and it's not the right one. but in book two, they've reached the city, but it's not what they think it is, right?
Right. So there's three levels of Penury City. First, penury means extreme poverty. And it's the extreme poverty. So the first volume is the extreme poverty of living without God. When you live without God, you're in extreme poverty. And you might think that you have everything under control. Well, I have my career, I have money, I have house, I have family, I have friends, I have all that I need. But really, all that can be taken away at a moment's notice. And so you really are living in extreme poverty. And that second volume is that there is light on the horizon, that when you start to empty yourself out of all the things that really are not good for you, whether it be the sinful things, prideful things, your own sense of, I need to control everything. That's the extreme poverty of you empty yourself out completely of those things. Then you can start filling yourself up with God, what God wants to give you. So that's the second volume of taking that extreme poverty of emptying out of yourself. And then the third volume is, well, once you've emptied yourself out of all those things, now you're living in the extreme poverty of the divine life. But it's different because you don't mind living in the extreme poverty because you know and you trust that God will provide everything that you need. And so you don't mind living day to day. You don't have to worry about what tomorrow might or may not bring. You can trust in God. And so you basically live in extreme poverty that you really don't own anything. You don't have anything. You don't control anything. And you accept it. And you're actually more joyful because you realize now that you don't have to try to do everything on your own. God can lead you. And his plans are a lot better than what our plans are. And they're a lot more exciting than our plans because God's adventure for us that he has planned is a lot more exciting than any adventure that we could plan for ourselves. Yeah. Because he created us perfect to be in the time that we're in the place that we are, to do the things that we're supposed to do. That's our adventure. And most people are just afraid to accept it. They're afraid to do it because they think, oh, I could never possibly do that. Well, you couldn't on your own. You could never do it on your own. But with God, you can do anything.
And hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of this great interview with Thomas Nastic. But I'm telling you, you need to go down the show notes and get his books. I mean, there is no doubt we're living in troubled times. Times that the Bible has told us would happen before everything we see happening right now would even happen. And that just tells us that time as we know it is about to be all wrapped up. And Thomas Nastic takes all of the questions we have, all that we see happening, and weaves a story that, I'm telling you folks, will keep you right on the edge of your seats. So you need to go down the show notes, grab these books, order the bundle of books, praise the Lord, and start reading up on this. Instead of just reading facts and different commentary and narratives from other biblical authors, He weaves this story together using a novel, a fiction that just holds you on the edge of your seat. I can't express this enough. It is really, really interesting, and he's done a terrific job. And with Christmas time coming up, about the time of this publication, you need to start planning ahead for what you could use to share as gifts. And I think this bundle or even individual books would make a great Christmas gift. But be sure you come back for this next episode because we're going to wrap up this great interview, and I'm excited about it because I know what's coming, right? You do not want to miss this next episode. So until next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.